say, this is what I think we ought to do. Jackie has to leave at 3:45.
Okay.
I thought we'd wait till about 3:30.
Yeah.
If a couple more people come, they could hold the signs.
Yeah.
I'd like for Hetty, myself,
yeah,
and Zaki to go in.
Okay.
To talk to her.
Sure.
If they don't allow us to talk to her, we should insist that, look, we're constituents of hers, and we should be heard. You know, we're the voters. We're the people who voted for you. And you have a duty to listen to our voices. So, and also we have a gift for her. It's a DVD called Lifting the Veil. So we'll give her that too.
Sure. Yeah.
His office, and we spoke to her. I'll let Zaki speak.
First of all, let me say justice for the Palestinian people. Justice for the Palestinian people. My name is Zaki Baroudi. I'm representing the Universal African People's Organization. And as Brother Tim just mentioned, we went into our outrage and what is taking place in Palestine with the blockade that's currently being conducted by the Israeli government. And we just express our outrage to Senator McCaskill for allowing and taking the position of the Israeli lobbyists to allow that to continue as it has been continued. So I'm just here to stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people, as well as to, we also spoke about the contradiction of the United States defense budget or budget in terms of expenditures on war, when these dollars ought to be better spent here to create jobs right here in the state of Missouri and throughout the country, to create a better health care for the people of this country, as well as we spoke out against the current bombing campaign against Libya led by the United States and its NATO allies. So again, we're out here, and we salute the organizers for today's activity, Brother Tim Kaminsky and those who's working with them. And I say power to the Palestinian people, power to the righteous people, and we have to keep organizing to make a difference in our community. God bless each and every one of you. As-salamu alaykum.
Hetty recently was on a Gaza flotilla, the international flotilla that trying to break the blockade to the Gaza, which is cut off from the world. No goods are coming in, nothing can go out. Many others, she's going to tell you about it, so I'll let her speak. Again, I'm sorry about we don't have a sound system, but just come on in to listen to her.
Shukran.
Salam alaikum. Salam alaikum.
Some of you may know, maybe all of you know, what happened last year. There was a flotilla of six ships that was trying to go to Gaza. One of the ships was a Turkish ship that had about 500 or almost 600 people on it, and the Israelis attacked all the ships, and the people on the Turkish ship, there were 9 people that were killed, over 50 people were injured. I understand that a couple of them even today still are suffering from their injuries. One of them has brain damage, permanent brain damage. And the Israelis arrested everyone who were on the boat, on these boats, on these six boats, took them to a port in Israel and put them in jail there, accusing them of having entered Israel illegally. They didn't want to go to Israel, and they didn't enter Israel illegally. They were forcibly taken there. They were in international waters when all this took place. And then later on, they were released and deported to the various countries where they came from. So after that happened, some of the organizers got together and they decided there's going to be a flotilla number 2. And there was a flotilla number 2 boats, one from Canada, two from France, one from Spain, one from Sweden and Switzerland, one from Ireland. I'm leaving out some. And then there was a U.S. boat to Gaza, and there were only Americans on that boat. 37 passengers, 4 crew, and there were about 10 media people there from CBS, CNN, Democracy Now!, New York Times, Time Magazine, some others, independent ones. I was one of the passengers on that boat. This was my 5th try to go to Gaza. And the Israeli government was in touch with the Greek government and instructed them and ordered them not to let any of the boats leave for Gaza. And the Greek government, which is in, or the Greek country, which is in dire financial straits, acceded to Israel's wishes, which were also supported by the American government. And no boats were able to leave Greece for Gaza. Our brave captain on the U.S. boat one day decided we're just going to break loose and go. And we actually did. And it was an amazing thing for me, and I'm sure for everybody else. I was on the back of the boat at the time, and the back of the boat was closest to land. And I saw this man take the rope off the pole that it was tied to hold the boat in place. And then the gangplank, which was horizontal, all of a sudden went up slowly, slowly, and became vertical, and the boat took off. And I'm getting goosebumps right now as I'm thinking about it. I never felt so free in my life as I did for those 33 minutes that the boat was traveling, before, at which point the Greek Coast Guard came and stopped us and asked us to return back to Greece. We negotiated with them for almost 3 hours, and that man on the Greek Coast Guard ship said, you know, I'm begging you, please turn around. I'm with you. I'm supporting you. But I have my orders. So I'm begging you, please turn around. And we tried to convince him to let us go. And that didn't happen. And then the commandos arrived. Whether they were Greek or Israeli, I don't know. They were wearing black uniforms, black masks, covering their face, what you could see with their eyes. And they arrived in a rubber boat, they call it a Zodiac, I think, and boarded this Coast Guard ship with their guns pointing at us, ready to board our ship. And our captain wisely decided that our issue isn't with the Coast Guard, it isn't with the commandos, and we don't want anyone hurt or, God forbid, killed. And so we decided to turn around. And we were taken to another port in Greece, not the one that we had come from, but it was an American-controlled port. And we were literally imprisoned there. We couldn't get out. Our captain was arrested the next day and taken to a Greek jail. No food, no water, no bed, no toilet. And the American government was not willing to come and see him. It was the 4th of July weekend. He was arrested on the 2nd of July, but I guess they were celebrating already the 4th of July. And so they never came to see him. Like McCaskill, you know, they don't care. If this had happened to Israelis, they would have been there. But since it was not Israelis, and there were people protesting Israel's policies and practices, they were not there for us. The amazing thing was the Greek people, because of what's happening in Greece, they're losing lots of their jobs. they're losing some of the social services, some of their insurance, etc. And they were, they had, like in Egypt, they had their square where they were demonstrating. And they took time out to demonstrate for us. They wore our shirts like this. They carried our signs, and they marched to the American embassy and protested. I mean, it was amazing. The people in the street, you know, we wore our shirts, and they said they wanted to know that you were supporting you. It's their government, just like our government, corrupt, and taking orders from the Israeli lobby or the Israeli government. And so what is next? I don't know. Will there be another flotilla? I don't know. If there is, I'll be honest.
Was she in the office when you went to see her?
I'm sorry?
Was she in the office, McCaskill?
No, she was not. And her aide was busy. And so we saw this little kid who I had seen once before. When last time I saw him, he didn't even take any notes. Today he at least had a notepad. And I don't know what he put on, what notes he took. So, shukran for listening to me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I gotta go back to work in his cab. Omar, floor, you have the floor.
Salaam alaikum.
Speak loudly, please.
I just want to say something real brief. We're out here in front of Senator McCaskill's office. I don't really think that it really matters if it's McCaskill or Roy Blunt. You know, the American political system is pretty united against the Palestinians. It's pretty united against Israel. And even if it wasn't, we have to depend on justice. We have to depend on the law, not the American political system. You know, Quran says the law will not change the condition of the people until they change the condition of themselves. So the first step the Palestinian people can make to bring liberation is to live better in their lives, live better in their families, live better in their communities. You know, so stop the hashish. Stop the riba, stop all the bad things, and then Allah will start to bless them with good things. Because we want to develop a good character. We've seen just now in Libya what happens if you have nifaq in your heart. You see, then the shaitan will come and call. They have handed Libya to Israel. Bernard Henri Levy is one of the leading proponents of the NATO intervention in Libya, one of the biggest Zionists in the world. Went and met with Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and the head of the Libyan Democratic Party said, yes, we need the support of Israel and we will recognize Israel. You've seen the NATO airstrikes. You think they're going to leave now? No, they're going to come to cash them checks. They're going to come to make that money. You see what I'm trying to say? Once you get the West in, you can never get out. There is an imperialist gene in the West. It goes to all Westerners. It is a part of the DNA. And you do not want to depend on them for the salvation of Palestine. The salvation of Palestine will come from Allah. And believe me, the liberation of the Muslim Ummah is coming. You see it. Everywhere you go, the Muslims are getting stronger. You go to London, you go to Paris, you go all throughout Europe. Muslims everywhere. You went there 30, 40, 50 years ago, you would never see any Muslims. 15, 20 years ago, there were only two masjids in St. Louis. Two. Now there are over 20 throughout the St. Louis metropolitan area. So what the Palestinian people need, they need our dua, they need to help themselves, and they need us to help them help themselves, because we've seen in the past year people can change the condition of their societies if the situation is right. But what we don't want is a situation like Libya where the Nifaq calls, you bring in the shaitan, and now the shaitan's going to run your country for decades. So we pray for the Palestinian people today. We pray for their liberation. And I personally have been to Palestine 4 times. I've seen the conditions there. We know the people live under very bad conditions. And we know that the only solution to this problem is not the two-state solution they talk about, because they will never live side by side in peace with the Palestinians. The only solution in Palestine is a one-state solution. and it has to be achieved among just ways.
Just tens of thousands of Algerians were killed in the early till the late 90s. There was no call from the West, no call from Washington, Paris, London, say, hey, we got to stop the slaughter of civilians. But that's exactly what happened in Algeria after those elections were canceled. The civilians were slaughtered. And this was done with the knowledge of the Western powers, the same Western powers that are bombing Libya. They also did not do anything. They didn't lift a finger. In fact, they encouraged the killing of all these people in Algeria. So I just had to bring that up because I think that's one of the biggest hypocrisies of the day. The Libya thing, I don't understand it. They feel that they have to control the so-called Arab Spring. They're afraid of the people. They're afraid of what the people are really going to do. Because if the people took over, it wouldn't be the status quo. Israel would not be coddled like they have been for so many years. And I quote David Ben-Gurion. David Ben-Gurion, one of the first leaders of the state of Israel, said, and I quote, "Our first line of defense are the Arab states." What he meant was, as long as the Arab states were under the control of imperialism, they had nothing to worry about. And now that these uprisings have happened in Tunisia, Egypt, etc., they're so fearful that they had to intervene in Libya. They had to say, well, at least let's hit the western flank, and let's get that down. So I just had to mention that.
Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine.